الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه الطيبين الطاهرين ومن تبعهم بإحسان ودعا بدعوتهم وسن بسنة مقتدى بهديم إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، as we're going through this Mubarak blessed silsila and mashallah series, the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to him belongs all the beautiful names, so call out unto him. And commonly people think that there are 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the 99 names mentioned in one particular hadith, that man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah, whoever memorizes them, internalizes them, believes in them, understands them, manifests the haqq of ubudiyah to these 99 names, inshaAllah will enter Jannah. But the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not limited to 99. As can be understood from the ayat of the Quran as well as from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He's infinite in His being, He's infinite in His sifat and His attributes. And even technically, if the word asma is not used in the following ayah, the word kalimat is, which has been understood in many ways, including the names of Allah ta'ala, praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوْ أَنَّمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ أَقْلَامٍ, that if all of the trees on the surface of the earth would turn into pens, وَالْبَحْرُ يَمُدُّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ سَبْعَةُ أَبْحُرٍ, and the seven oceans of the earth were turned into ink. This is a geographic reality. When we study geography, we study that there are seven oceans. So in this ayah, before the Arabs had traveled to all the seven oceans, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned sab'atu abhur, seven oceans. If the seven oceans are turned into ink, so the entire North Atlantic, South Atlantic, Pacific Ocean, Indian Ocean, Arctic Ocean, subhanAllah, all of the oceans are turned into ink. It's a lot of ink. And ma fil ardi min shajara, all the trees, including all the Amazon jungle, the Congo jungle, the rainforests of Canada. You know, in Canada, just there's some cities along the U.S. border, and then if you go north, Northwest Territories, it's just trees upon trees upon trees, and mountainous regions. So all of that were turned into pens. مَا نَفِيدَتْ كَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ. Then you write the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the trees will come to an end, and all the oceans will come to an end, but the praise of Allah will not come to an end. So how can that be limited to 99? And then there's another beautiful long dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which there is a mention of the fact that the names of Allah are not limited to 99. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he first declares his ubudiyah, his slavehood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a very personal manner. He says, Allahumma inni abduk, O Allah, I am your slave. Not only I am your slave, وَبْنُ عَبَدِكْ, I am the son of your slave. So I'm not just your slave, my father is also your slave. وَبْنُ أَمَتِكْ, and I'm also the son of your slave girl. So عَبْدٌ is slave, and أَمَتٌ is female slave. عَبْدٌ is a male slave, عَبْدُ اللَّهِ, and أَمَتُ اللَّهِ. أَمَتُ اللَّهِ is a name anyone has heard, right? أَمَتُ اللَّهِ. أَمَتُ اللَّهِ is less as popular or common than عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. But أَمَتُ اللَّهِ means the slave girl of Allah. So he says, "Ana Allahumma inni abduk, O Allah, I am your slave, wa ibnu abdik, and son of your slave," meaning my father, Abdullah, is your slave, wa ibnu amatik, and I'm a son of your slave girl, Amina, alayhi salam, alayhi salam. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi, it's just mind-boggling how much he's humbling himself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only am I your slave, but you know, he brought his father in the picture, mother in the picture too. Nasiyati biyadik. Nasiyah is referring to, not the nasiyatin kathiba, na'udhu billah, but this is the mubarak nasiyah. Nasiyah is referring to the forehead, right? So the first part, the front part of the head is called nasiyah. This comes in the books of fiqh in Kitab al-Tahara about masah. Nasiya is the front part of the head. Nasiyati biyadik. My nasiya, my forelock, as is translated, is in your hand. What that means is that when they would grab sometimes an animal and pull it in a particular direction, then they would grab the hair from the front, and get a good hold on it, and then pull it this direction or that direction. So meaning, subhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, you can grab me, O Allah, and take me in any direction. Now siyati biyadik. Maldin fiya hukmuk. Whatever you decide about me is coming to pass. It's already as if it's past. Maldi. Maldi is past. Meaning it is as sure as the past is sure, because what has happened has already happened, or it will come to pass. Adalun fiya qala'uk. Whatever your degree is regarding me, it is adal, it is just. The worst case scenario is justice, or it is fadl. It cannot be dhulm. So if Allah Ta'ala gives you what you deserve is adal, which is the worst case scenario, or if He gives you better than what you deserve is fadl, or if He, and then third logical scenario, which is not applicable to Allah, is to give you less than what you deserved, which is dhulm. And Allah Ta'ala, inna Allah la yadhlimu an-nasa shay'a. Allah Ta'ala does not commit dhulm. So therefore, from the three logical scenarios of dhulm, adl, and fadl, only adl and fadl exist. Fadl being the better option, adl being the worst option. So justice is as bad as it can get when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we don't want justice, because if we get justice, then na'udhu billah, we are all in big trouble. So we ask from Allah ta'ala His fadl and seek protection from His adl. Literally, we seek protection from His adl, and we seek from Him His fadl. Nas'aluka bikulli ismin huwa lak. This is where the names come into the picture. There's a long description of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As'aluka bikulli ismin. I ask you, O Allah, I beg from you, bikulli ismin. By taking the tawassul, or by taking the every name of yours. I ask you by every name, bikulli ismin huwa lak, that belongs to you. Now, what are the descriptions of these names? As'aluka bikulli ismin huwa laka sammayta bihi nafsak, that you have adopted in for yourself, and you have named yourself those names. Any name that you have named yourself, sammayta bihi nafsak. Aw anzaltahu fi kitabik, or you have revealed in your book, in the Quran. Aw 'allamtahu ahadan min khalqik, or you have taught anyone of your creation. Aw ista'tharta bihi fi 'ilm al-ghaybi 'indak. Or last one is that all of those, I also ask you by virtue of all of those names, that you have kept the knowledge of those names in your ilm of ghayb, and you have not shared the knowledge of those names with anyone. So there is an entire other treasure of names that no one else knows besides you. I know that they exist, but I don't even know what they are, and I know no one else knows those names besides you, but I ask you by virtue of those names as well. أَوْ إِسْتَأْثَرَتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ عِنْدَكَ. What do I ask? First you declare your abudiya, and your father and mother also slaves, and how helpless you are in front of Allah. Then you took by virtue of all those names. Then he says, I ask from you, أَنْ تَجْعَلَ الْقُرْآنَ الْعَظِيمِ. I ask from you, O Allah, that you make the Qur'an al-Azim. What do you make it? Rabi'a qalbi, like the spring of my heart. Rabi'a, Musum al-Rabi'a. Rabi'a is the spring season. So make it like the spring from my heart. أَنْ تَجْعَلَ الْقُرْآنَ الْعَظِيمَ رَبِيعَ قَلْبِي وَنُورَ بَصَرِي, and the light of my eyes. وَجَلَاءَ حُزْنِي, and the means of taking away my grief. وَذَهَابَ هَمِّي وَغَمِّي, and it takes away all my anxieties and worries. وَقَائِدِي, or وَسَائِقِي إِلَى جَنَّاتِكَ جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ, and that it leads me towards your gardens of Jannah. The Quran leads me. Qaid is the one who leads from the front, and Saiq from the back. So when they would have a caravan, then they would have a bunch of camels that would be tied to one another. So the one holding the rope in the front and leading the caravan is the Qaid. Qaid Azam, the great leader. Qaid is the one, Qaid Yaqudu Qiyada, from the front. And then there is one who has a stick, and who, if the animals are slowing down, he once in a while has to hit it on his back and keep it going. He's actually the last one. One's the engine, one's like the caboose on the train. The last one is called the sa'iq. Sa'iqa yisuqu siyaqa. Sa'iq is the one who is driving. He drives the animal by pushing it. Now in the cars, when we don't have camels, we have cars, then they use the same word in Arabic, modern standard Arabic. They take the sa'iq from the back of the caravan, and the driver of the car is also sa'iq, sa'iq al-sayara. Subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala has many names, and we are going through those names. And then today we were tasked with Al-Ali, Al-Azim, and Al-Kabir, right? These three names. So I just printed out something what Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi has written. There are many different books about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ghazali has written, Imam Bayhaqi has written, Imam Razi, Fakhruddin Razi has written, Qurtubi, subhanAllah, Imam Qushayri, so many scholars have written about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many beautiful things. So instead of going on my tangents, I said, okay, let me stick to this topic. Al-Aliyu, Al-Aliyu, huwa alladhi la rutbata fawqa rutbatihi, wa jami'u al-maratibi munhadithun anhu. He talks, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi starts off by saying that Al-Ali is the one that there is no level above him. In all of the levels that may be present, they are all beneath him. And subhanAllah, this highness, uluwan, comes from the means high. وَذَٰلِكَ إِمَّا فِي دَرَجَاتٍ مَحْسُوسَةٍ. This can be in physical stages. If something is physically higher than something else, not with respect to Allah, of course, he's speaking about in general. The word ulu can refer to something is ali, something is safil. That means something is in a higher level, something is in a lower level. So these are physical locations with respect to you have zero level, ground level, and then on top of that, something is higher than something else with respect to that ground level would be called ali and safil. Like كالدرج والمراقي وجميع الأجسام الموضوعة بعضها فوق بعض. Like the stairs. So you have steps in the stairs, so you have the higher level of the stair and step and the lower level of the steps. وإما في رتب المعقولة للموجودات المرتبة نوعا من الترتيب العقلي. Or the second type of something being higher than something else is if it is something with, that is not a physical, something higher and lower, but rather in maqam, in martaba, in position. That something is at a higher level, meaning is more powerful. It is actually in its maqam, in its position, it is higher than something else. So one is physical and one is something with respect to the honor, the power, the maqam, the position that it has. One is called علو المكاني, one is called علو في الرتبة. And when we come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is خالق الزماني والمكان. He is the creator of time and space. And وهو الآن كما كان قبل خلق الزمان والمكان. And after creating time and space, he's exactly the same as he was before. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not confined to time and space. He is above and beyond that and cannot be restricted. So when you're speaking about the ulu of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're not speaking about ulu al-makani, physically something being higher, something else. He gives the long examples here. Like something is the causative factor of something else. The causative factor would be, the illa for the ma'lul is considered higher. This was the cause. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the cause of the existence of everything in the world that we see and that which beyond what we cannot see. So therefore, he is ali in that regard. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, he does a lot of different divisions here. It may be too early for all of us to understand some of the stuff, but I'll just still give it a try. So he says here, وَكَذَلِكَ الْمَوْجُودُ يَنْقَسِمُ إِلَى مَيِّتٍ وَحَيٍّ. Everything that's existing, it's either divided into that which is living and that which is dead. مَيِّتٍ وَحَيٍّ. That is easy enough. Something is alive or not alive. That pretty much covers everything we see. And no, وَالْحَيُّ يَنْقَسِمُ إِلَى مَا لَيْسَ لَهُ إِلَّا الْإِدْرَاكُ الْحِسِّيُّ وَهُوَ الْبَهِيمَةُ. And that which is alive is divided into two categories. Something that only has physical senses of sight, smell, hearing, etc., taste, touch, وَهُوَ الْبَهِيمَةُ. These are animals. So they're alive, but they only have physical senses. They are bahima, animals. وَإِلَى مَا لَهُ مَعَ الْإِدْرَاكِ الْحِسِّيُّ الْإِدْرَاكُ الْعَقْلِيُّ. And then the second category of those things that are alive are that those things that, along with physical senses, they have intellect. Now we know when you study animals and that animals also have some intellect, but over here we can identify it and define it as those who have higher intellect. So human beings, of course, have higher intellect. But it's not only human beings. as we will see. وَالَّذِي لَهُ الْإِدْرَاكُ الْعَقْلِيُّ. Now, that branch of the living things which only have physical senses, do not have higher intellect, he stops with that branch. Now he's continuing with the other side. Those that have higher intellect, وَالَّذِي لَهُ الْإِدْرَاكُ الْعَقْلِيُّ يَنْقَسِمُ, they are divided up. إِلَى مَا يُعَارِضُهُ فِي إِدْرَاكَاتِهِ الشَّهْوَةُ وَالْغَضَبُ وَهُوَ الْإِنسَانُ, who have higher intellect, but they have different problems too. They have shahwat. These shahwat are like ghadab, anger, hasad, jealousy. And because of this hasad and ghadab and anger, it ends up covering their intellect, blocking their intellect, and they end up doing foolish things. Like things that they know are going to harm them and harm others. Why in the world are they doing these things which are contrary to having true intellect, pure intelligence? It's because they have a problem with shahwat. So they're not able to overcome those shahwat. So he says that those that have, first they're alive or they're dead, they're alive. Those that are alive that have higher intellect or do not have higher intellect. Those who have higher intellect. Those who have higher intellect, do they have shahwat or not? So those that do have shahwat are? Are we familiar with this creation? It is وَهُوَ الْإِنسَانُ, right? That is a human being. The insan is the one who is hayyun, is alive, is not dead, and amongst the living he has aql or he doesn't have aql. He has aql. The other ones, the animals, don't have aql. But along with aql, he also has shahwa. And that shahwa, when it becomes ghalib and overpowers a person, then he does things which are khilaful aql. He does things contrary to what the aql would dictate. Because the aql is also called nuha. Nuha is the one that stops you from committing foolish things. Why is he doing these things? Doesn't he have aql? You know, then he goes in the court and he claims temporary insanity, right? Because why did he kill somebody? Oh, he was temporarily insane. Why you give the three talaqs mughallaza? Oh, I was temporarily insane, overcome with anger. Now I love her and all my kids and I want to be with her. In this dunya, qabar, hashar, akhirah. So the thing is, the anger overpowers a person and then they lose their mind. The second category of those who have, it's going to be the opposite. That's how it works. وَإِلَى مَا يَسْلَمُ إِدْرَاكُهُ عَنْ مُعَارَضَةِ الْمُكَدِّرَاتِ. Okay. وَالَّذِي يَسْلَمُ مِنْ عَنْهَا. And those that do not have shahawat, يَنْقَسِمُ, they divide into two. إِلَى مَا يُمْكِنُ أَنْ يُبْتَلَى بِهِ وَلَكِنْ رُزِقَ السَّلَامَ كَالْمَلَائِكَ وَإِلَى مَا يَسْتَحِيلُ ذَلِكَ فِي حَقِّهِ وَهُوَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Those that do not have shahwat, they're meaning they're alive, and then they have aql or don't have aql, they have aql, but Allah with aql, do they have shahwa or no shahwa? They do not have shahwa. Those that do not have shahwa are divided into two categories. Those that could have had it, it was possible, it was mumkin, but they were granted salama and Allah had protected them. Who are those? Malaika, right? The Malaika, Allah Ta'ala says about them in the Quran, Malaika, غِلَاظٌ شِدَادٌ. They're talking about this particular ayah in Surah Tahrim is talking about the Malaika who are guarding Jahannam, guarding Jahannam. عَلَيْهَا مَلَائِكَةٌ غِلَاظٌ شِدَادٌ. But then the sifa of them starts, لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ. They do not have the capacity to disobey Allah in the least. وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. They do exactly as they are told. So this is commonly mentioned as a sifa of malaika, but if you look at the context, it's a pretty scary context, because you know, you think they do not disobey Allah in the least, they do as they're told. That's awesome, that's great. We wish it could be like that. But actually what's going on here, if you go over the whole ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O those who believe, قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, save yourselves, وَأَهْلِيكُمْ, and your loved ones and your family, نَارًا, from such a fire. Such a fire, وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةِ, the fuel for which are the men and the stones, the idols. They're going to be the stones of the idols are going to be the fuel for the fire of Jahannam. Even though stones in our worldly heat and temperatures does not melt, it remains a stone. So if you want to contain the fire, you make a ring of stones. Like when we have the fire pit, so we have the wood and combustible material inside, and then we put a ring of stone so that the stone will stop the fire. It doesn't become a means of igniting the fire. And we make tayammum on stones because the stones do not melt, meaning in normal temperatures, it doesn't melt. What are the things you cannot make tayammum with? You cannot make tayammum with those things that burn and those things that melt, like metals. You cannot make tayammum on gold and silver or any of these medals. When we learned it back in the day from Ta'lim al-Islam, Mufti Kifayatullah, I remember it was, Jo jalane se jalti na ho, jo piglane se pigalti na ho. That thing that if you want to burn it, it doesn't burn. If you want to melt it, it doesn't melt. But subhanAllah, the stones here, وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. Then عَلَيْهَا, on top of this, subhanAllah, this Jannah, the guards are, Malaika, such angels. The scholars of Tafsir say that there are three potential escape routes for the inmates of any prison or any jail or Jahannam. Three possible escape routes. One is that they physically overcome the guards and they escape. They catch them at a time when they're away from the weapons. Number two is that the guards themselves have a soft feelings for them in their heart. They intentionally, they willfully go and unlock the gates. They'll say, Bashar al-Assad is gone, and this was dhulm happening on you, so if you want to open it up, the guards themselves. And number three is that they're not physically weak, nor are their hearts soft, but rather, they don't care about them. They're physically strong. The guards, the inmates cannot overcome them, nor are they feeling feelings of sadness for them, but rather, they may be upset with their warden or with their boss that they were, you know, negotiating their retirement package or something. So they're going on strike and they did not get what they wanted. So they'll say, you know what, heck with it. We're just going to unlock the prison. So they disobey their masters. So they unlock the gates and they say, let the prisoners escape. What are you going to do about it? So all of the three potential escape routes were one by one negated by Allah. That, no, it's not going to work. And by the three sifat of the guards. عَلَيْهَا مَلَائِكَةٌ غِلَاظٌ شِدَادٌ. غِلَاظٌ, their hearts are very made to be hard. This is not the sifat of all the angels, but the angels of, thank God, is not the sifat of all the angels. This sifat is only for the sifat of the guards of Jahannam. That they will have no mercy. Because Allah Ta'ala made them have no mercy. غِلَاظٌ. And then number two is شِدَادٌ شَدِيد. شِدَاد is, means they're physically strong. They're not going to feel sorry for you and let you go. You can't overcome them because they're shiddat. And then third one is that if they end up just disobeying Allah, that's not possible too. لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرُونَ. They will not disobey Allah in the least. All right, this is sifa of all the angels, the third one. وَإِلَى مَا يَسْتَحِيلُ ذَلِكَ. And number, the last category is the one who, it is not possible for him. It is not possible for him to ever have any shahwa. Who is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so we have, you know, just hardly begun, but alhamdulillah, the food is ready, so we have to get going. Anyway, there's a whole discussion. We'll have to skip all of this. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So we one thing is that we said uluwan bil makan. One is to physically be higher, and then we said there is something which is fil martaba, in maqam. There are different ways this has been used in the Quran. One is that it comes in the meaning of ghalaba, to overpower. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the believers, wa antumul a'loon, you will be overpowering of your enemy, in kuntum mu'minin, if you are true believers. Hal ghalibuna li a'da'ikum. Or Allah Ta'ala says, Inna Fir'auna ala fil ard. Verily Fir'aun, he was overpowering on top of everyone in the earth during his time. Wa alla ta'alu alayya. Do not consider yourself to be higher and superior to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what was written by Sulaiman alayhi salam to Bilqis in the letter he wrote. Innahu min Sulaiman wa innahu bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alla ta'alu alayya wa atuni muslimin. And then you have one meaning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being Ali is where Allah Ta'ala uses his word subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun, that Allah is above and beyond all of the false things they attribute to him. Like this day and age in this Christmas time season, when they're attributing a son to him, then he is subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. He is above and beyond the attribution of a son to him, of a partner to him. Let's quickly move on to Al-Azim. Al-Azim, again, it has multiple different meanings. One is when it refers to physical bodies, this is not referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا أُطْلِقَ عَلَى الْأَجْسَامِ يُقَالُ وَهَذَا جِسْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Like, this is a big body. وَهَذَا الْجِسْمُ أَعْظَمُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْجِسْمُ. This body is أَعْظَمُ, bigger and greater than that. But when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is referring to His ذات, His being, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's being is greater than all of His creation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has used this word many times. This is one of those names of Allah ta'ala which can be used for people. You don't have to be Abdul Azim, just like you have to be Abdul Rahman. You cannot say Rahman, Brother Rahman, Rahman Bhai, or Khaliq, or Bari. These are specific to Allah. There's no Brother Bari, there's Abdul Bari. But when it comes to Azim, this word can be used for the creation. And it has been used in the Quran as well. It has been used for kuffar and mushrikun. Like, one of the objections of the mushrikun when they wanted to come up with different excuses for not accepting the Quran in Surah Az-Zukhruf, ayah 31, they said, okay, if the Quran had to be revealed, وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ وَعَلَى رَجُلٍ مِنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. Why, if the Quran had to not be, if it had to be revealed on the Qaryatain, the two cities of Makkah and Taif, there's Rajulun Azim, a great man, the old leader. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, of course, from the Banu Hashim. He was from the leading family too. The only thing he had was that he was much older in age, and he was considered a wise leader. He Walid ibn al-Mughira. He's known for his son, radiallahu anhu, Khalid ibn al-Walid. Khalid ibn al-Walid's father, Walid ibn al-Mughira, from the Banu Makhzum al-Makhzumi, one of the clans, Batan of the Quraysh. He was considered a wise old leader. So they said, okay, if the Quran had to come, why doesn't it come on him? يعني, he should have been revealed on him rather than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then you would have accepted? I don't think so. You're just coming up with random excuses. So this is how it has been used. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also used it when he wrote that letter to the kings. He wrote, من محمدٍ عبد الله ورسوله. This is a letter from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the slave and messenger of Allah, ila Hiraqal, to the king Hiraqal, the Qaisar of Rome, right? Ila Hiraqal, Azim al-Rum, the great leader of the Romans. Aslim taslam, you know, accept Islam and you will be safe. There was a letter of when he invited Hiraqal to Islam. So what's interesting here is that he did not belittle him and say, you loser, kafir, you think you're a king, so you think you're so powerful. I'm the Prophet of Allah, and I'm inviting you to subjugate yourself to me. No, he didn't write it in a mean way. Rather, he praised him, and he gave him his due honor. Anzilun lasa manazilahum, treat people the way based on their level. So he gave him honor, but he didn't say, you are my leader, or our leader, or the greatest leader of all time, because he's not greater than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So interesting part here is the mudafun ilay, meaning he attributed azim to whom? Not azimana, our leader, or azimun nasi ajma'in, the leader of all people. He said, ila azimir rum, you are the leader of the Romans. So, apke hattak, you know, till your level, within your jurisdiction of Romans, yeah, you're the greatest, they'll give you that much. So that is, anyway, how the word azim has been used. And of course, this is not referring to any physical shape, as Allah Ta'ala is munazzahun, free from that. Then we have kabir, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, it means greatness. There's a whole detailed discussion here about the difference between the two. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this word, so many different ayat in the Quran, to regard something as great. It could be great in sins, great in good deeds, great in bad deeds. وَجَعَلْنَا فِي كُلِّ قَرْيَةٍ أَكَابِرَ مُجْرِمِيهَا. So those who are progressing in their sins, they have been known as akabir too. And the woman, when in the time of Zulaykha in Egypt, when she called them and she gave them knives and apples and fruit and told them to sit and enjoy the party, and she asked Yusuf alayhi salam to come in front. Because she said, you are blaming me that how I fell in love with my slave. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in Surah Yusuf, فَلَمَّا رَأِيْنَهُ أَكْبَرْنَهُ وَقَطَّعْنَ أَيْدِيَهُنَّ وَقُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ When they saw him, they were overcome with his greatness. أَكْبَرْنَهُ They thought he was so great in his beauty. Major portion of something is also used, وَالَّذِي تَوَلَّى كِبْرَهُ مِنْهُمْ Referring to the ifk, the slander against Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nur is referring to Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, وَالَّذِي تَوَلَّى كِبْرَهُ He took the biggest portion of the slander. Then when we start the prayer, we start off by saying, Allahu Akbar. Akbar, Akbaru min ayyi shay, Akbar from what? Akbaru min jami'i al-mawjudat. He is greater than everything that is in existence. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, when it comes to the effort of da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Ya ayyuhal muddathir qum fa'anzir. Oh, the one who is wrapped up in his blanket, qum, stand up, fa'anzir, and warn the people. Wa rabbaka fakabbir. And say the greatness of Allah. Invite people towards the greatness of Allah. Wa rabbaka fakabbir. Why the takbir of Allah, the greatness of Allah is done in the beginning of the da'wah? Is that when the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enters the heart and we realize truly how great Allah ta'ala is and how insignificant we are as His creation, as His slave, then it will become easier for us to obey His command. فَإِنَّ عَظَمَةَ الْأَمْرِ بِعَظَمَةِ الْآمِرِ For the greatness of a command is proportionate to the greatness of the one who is issuing forth that command. Let's conclude with maybe this thought, and then this was Razi after that. We finished with Ghazali, then leave the Razi for it. But what, this is one last point, maybe if this is all technical stuff, but one very spiritual point for us to leave on is that Allah Ta'ala says, وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ Is that, Ya Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when you start the effort of da'wah, قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ Go, get up and warn the people, give them da'wah, invite them towards Allah, وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ And say the greatness of Allah. Then after that, وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَاهِرْ Purify yourself, externally, internally. But the greatness of Allah is so important because we are violating the orders of Allah due to the fact that His greatness is not embedded in our hearts. And if you truly realize how great He is, then we would not have disobeyed Him. A very common example is that they say that, subhanAllah, there is your child, you bought them so many candies and toys and then they're screaming and crying for more, they're having a tantrum in the store, they're asking you something. Then your wife is asking something, your partner is asking something, your friend is asking you something, then your boss is asking you something, the king is asking you something. If you're a soldier in the army, the general is commanding you something. So there's a difference between all of these quote-unquote requests or asks, or some of them turn into orders when it comes from on top. It's an order, it's not a request anymore. Why would a person rush to comply to the order of his general, of his master, for the slave, for the king, for his boss, versus he may have to think about, is this reasonable or not when it comes to his child? All right, is this because of the greatness of the one in the who is giving the command? So if we truly realize how great Allah Ta'ala is, how would we disobey Him? And that's why there's a lot of hikmah and wisdom and basira we can gain from the adhan with respect to uslub of da'wah. And we know that the adhan is a form of da'wah, not just because with the adhan you're calling people to salah, which is exactly what da'wah is, but also because of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's specific dua that he made after the adhan, in which he called it the complete form of da'wah. Allahumma rabba hadhi da'wat al-tamma. O Allah, you are the Lord of this complete da'wah. Da'wat al-tamma. So the adhan is da'wat al-tamma. There are like 10 different principles that are extracted. One of them is that before you get to hayya ala salah, come to salah. Hayya ala al-falah, come to success. I couldn't hold myself back about this one, that whenever you invite towards something good, da'wah, one of the usloob and one of the styles of da'wah, one of the principles, usool of da'wah, is that you mention the fadail along with it, the virtues. So when you're saying hayya ala salah, come to salah, you're also saying hayya ala falah, come to success. So you have to give the virtue, you have to give the targheeb, you have to mention the carrot, what are we going to get out of it? Hayya ala salah, come to salah, hayya ala falah, come to success. But any case, before that actual call to action takes place, It starts off with Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Four times is repeated. You know, Allahu Akbar. Now, the illa, the cause, the reason we say it four times is because, not because of the dream, by the way. It's not because Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Abdul Rabbi saw it in his dream. It is because it was affirmed by Rasulullah ﷺ the next day when he narrated his dream. The dream of itself, if you know what I'm talking about, the dream, when they were sitting together and they're making mashura, right? How should we call the people? The Christians have the bells and the Yahud have the trumpets and etc. So everyone had that concern because, again, another lesson is in da'wah you should make mashura. What is the best way to proceed? So when they made mashura, Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Abdul Rabbi, he had the dream first. And then he came, but it's attributed to him, even though some, who had the exact same dream, same night, it was Umar radiallahu anhu, but he came second place in this matter, all right? But he's second place overall in the Ummah after Abu Bakr Siddiq, higher in maqam than Abdullah ibn Zayd. But when it comes to Adhan, this is Fadila Juz'iyya versus Fadila Kulliyya. He is specifically in this thing, he ended up coming second place, so was he didn't get the nisba and the attribution of Adhan to him. It got to Abdullah ibn Zayd. Ibn Abdi Rabbihi, son of the slave of his Lord. Ibn Abdi, it's a very circular type of name. Anyway, so he said he saw the dream in which Jibreel alayhi salam taught him this. He said, when he was in the market in the dream, what are you looking for? I'm looking for a trumpet and why to call people to salah, looking for some drums or something. He said, no, you don't need that. How about this one? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So then when he came and said that to Rasulullah affirmed that, that became the reason why we have it. So that's the illah. Then there's a hikmah, wisdom. What we're talking about is the hikmah. You come up with these nukatun ba'd al-wuqu', different ideas of it could be this way, it could have been that way, and this could be the wisdom behind it after it's already established. And one of that is, Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater than everything in front of me, and Allah is greater than everything behind me. Allah is greater than everything on my right, my left. Back in the day, before the periodic table of elements was expanded to what we have, they thought it were four elements that created everything. The Greeks, ancient Greeks, they would say that everything is made of earth, fire, water, air. Right? Air itself is so many elements, so many different things going on in the air. It's not just 100% pure oxygen, right? There's a lot of things in the air. And then water is H2O, two molecules of hydrogen and oxygen, but the water was considered one element by itself. And then earth is tons of stuff going on in the earth. Fire is, and combustion is, an is not an element. We know that's a reaction taking place. But the ancient Greeks, they considered that there are four elements. So this is how some of the Greek stuff comes into the deen. And then they'll say that Allahu Akbar, meaning is greater than water, greater than fire, greater than earth and water, air and water, are the four elements. And if someone reads that, they'll say, Na'udhu Billah, the Prophet ﷺ did not know science. That's a mistake on multiple accounts. First of all, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never said that you say Allahu Akbar four times because it's greater than four elements. He never even said that. Somebody came up with an explanation later on. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is bari from that. This is some explanation of some people, we don't have to believe that. The actual reason is because it was in the dream confirmed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we start off by talking about Allah is great, Allah is great, Allah is great. So when the greatness of Allah Ta'ala comes, we know who we're talking about. Then we testify to his oneness and the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad Rasulullah. Then when the command comes, Hayya ala salah, who's calling me? Wife is calling me. You know, you run very fast, right? And then hopefully. And then when the child is calling you, you run. Your boss is calling you. Who's calling? Why should? Right? Hayya ala salah is coming from Allahu Akbar, from the greatest being. So then it becomes easy to respond, inshallah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill our hearts with his kibriya, with his azma, and realize how Ali he is, azim he is, kabir he is. And we make dua to him. This is the names that Allah ta'ala, Rasulullah s.a.w. taught us to recite in the salah. In ruku' subhana rabbiyal azim. And in sajda subhana rabbiyal a'la. And when we ask shifa for someone, Nasrullah al-Azim, Rabbil Arsh al-Azim, an yashfiak. These names keep on coming up in different du'as, in different things taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala fill our hearts with his greatness. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdik. Nashadu la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Inshallah, we have the breakfast. Let's proceed for that. And then our Salatul Ishraq. Wa akhir da'wana.